You're listening to Fight in Progress. With your hosts and stress coaches, founder of Under the Shield, Susan Simmons, and TomTheBomb.com. Fight in Progress grapples with the internal and external struggles in the daily lives of our men and women in law enforcement, the armed forces, and first responders. Tackling the tough topics and supporting those who support us. We hear you, and we're here for you.
Welcome back to Under the Shield Presents Fight in Progress. Joelle, you're back.
I'm back.
Yeah, I'm sure we screwed something up on the last episode without you.
Almost positive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From the sounds of it.
You're probably going to have to do a lot of editing.
Yeah.
I didn't power off anything.
That's true. Not, at least not in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It worked out okay, but yeah.
You didn't kick anything?
No. But we do have new equipment kind of sort of in here, so
See,
you leave and look what we do. We change things.
Yep.
Here in the Chris Ferrara podcast studio. I have to say his name because I think he's in the building somewhere periodically. I did have a clock chime on me the other day that hasn't chimed in like 100 years.
Wow.
Sitting in my den, all of a sudden it just did one ding. I thought, good gosh. All right. So, hey, Tom, what's new?
Not much. Nothing new going on with me right now.
Well, all right. No news on this end on our bill here in the State Bill 1601. We're still should hopefully hear that it passed the next phase by the end of this week. That's what we're all praying about. So we'll see.
Yeah.
A lot of other stuff coming down the pike, I hope. So, and today we have a guest in studio. It's not Zoom today.
That's a rarity.
We really, somebody close the door, lock it so he doesn't leave. Yeah, we have firefighter Fenton. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Brent is with us. And he also, you have like five different jobs, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. I have quite a few. Yeah. Like you said, my name's Brent. Thank you for having me. But
Thank you for being here.
I am local here. So, yeah, I'm a local firefighter. Actually, coming up here in about 3 weeks, I hit my 20 years, which is pretty crazy. So I'm excited.
We're so glad to have our audience here today.
They only show up when I'm here. Weird.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
But yeah. And then I do social media on the side. It's kind of like my art form and stress relief and everything to make people laugh and have fun. And then I also work for Fire Department Coffee as well.
And so tell us a little bit about you, your background, because we want to hear about all these different things you have going on.
Yeah, so, and then the other job I have is I'm a husband and a father of four, so.
Father of four?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, two boys, two girls. It's busy in the Fenton household. We also homeschool, so it's busy.
Wow.
My goodness.
Yeah, I'm born and raised Arizona. I've pretty much resided on the west side of the valley in the Phoenix area. Been here my entire life. I have a sister, my parents, my dad is retired Phoenix police officer, Phoenix police sergeant. Yeah, he did it for about 26 years. I was initially wanting to go law enforcement.
And then he threatened you.
And then my dad was like, I don't know, I think you shouldn't do it. He's like, going to ride along with my buddies on fire. Yeah. And I went to ride along was like, this is awesome. So, yeah. For the rest of his history.
Get paid
there
to sleep.
That's right.
My dad was like, go where they wave with you with all their fingers.
Yes.
Their whole hand.
Exactly.
So. Yes. And I don't know if you've heard any of our podcasts, but we learned from, I guess it was Kyle Serafin and Luna, that we've always called firefighters hose draggers, but now we call you the slab savers.
The slab saver. Well,
according to them, y'all always save the slab.
Yeah. I feel like if you're doing it right, you're saving more than the foundation, but I've heard that before as well.
We had never heard it until I was on their podcast, and I was like, that's good. I'm stealing that.
Yeah. No, that's funny. Was that law enforcement guy that said?
Oh yeah, there. Yeah, it's a recovering. Yeah. It's a recovering FBI agent. He's a whistleblower and a cop out of California.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I mean, we can't all take the right test, but it's
fine. Yeah, we love to get that jawing going between the two. This is great. And I love to feed it. So you go right ahead.
Hey, there are only two professions that get paid to sleep, right?
What's that?
They work on their backs. Oh, yeah. Okay. Firefighters and prostitutes. Absolutely.
Hey, you know, we don't always get to sleep, but when we do, we appreciate it.
Hey, they're also the two-time champs. now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Of our softball tournament. Yeah. Yep.
Fire's taken it the last 2 years.
Yeah, Gilbert Fire won the first year, and then Chandler Fire beat Tempe PD. Somebody we won't mention in the podcast room here is a retiree from.
My boys tried hard, though.
They tried.
We really need to put some rules next year, though.
Uh-huh.
We can't have betting going on because I've never seen Tom so upset on the sideline.
At least not our employees. Yeah, we've said we think Fire needs to have to run counterclockwise.
Something,
we need to make them do something different because I don't know that PD's ever going to beat them.
Yeah, I was the one that went rogue, though, in the family. Like, I say my sister and I. My sister's also a firefighter. But, yeah, my dad, he's the youngest of – four boys, and two of his older brothers were also law enforcement.
Wow.
So all of them as well were like, go Fire. So my sister, she works in the Valley as well. She's got 21 years on, and her husband's also a firefighter. So like,
do y'all
the
work together? Do y'all work together?
No. So she works with Glendale, City of Glendale. So, but we see each other every now and then at trainings. And then a few years back, I went down to the academy as a mentor and got to run some calls with them, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It took some years on the job between the two of us, but we finally got to run a house fire together, which was really cool.
So, yeah, that's pretty neat.
Nice.
Yeah.
So who was in charge of who?
well, good thing at that time, neither one of us were in supervisor role. So we were both firefighters, so we just got to have the fun.
There you go. And would you recommend any of your four going into fire?
You know, I would love it. If they would love to go into the fire service, I would be all about it. I'm also all about it if they don't have the desire to. Because, you know, like we've talked about, you know, there's some great things about the job and there's some not so great things about the job. And if I can save them from being subjected to some of that, I'm okay if they want to choose a different career path.
Yeah.
You know, I don't regret it at all and I love it, but I'm also not like, you need to do this. You know what I mean? So.
Sure. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about all these other – I know you said you told us you're part of Pierceport with your – and you call it a fire district that you're employed by.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's Daisy Mountain Fire Medical is the department that I work for, and, yeah, we're a fire district. So we provide fire protection to some unincorporated areas. We're still part of the automatic aid system here in the local valley, all career fire department. Our district is about – it's just over 250 square miles.
Wow.
So we cap off the city of Phoenix. We cover Cave Creek and Desert Hills and Anthem and Black Canyon City and New River. And we go all the way up the 17 for, I think we have like 37 miles of the 17.
Wow.
So, yeah. But, yeah, been there for 20 years. I'm a paramedic as well and an engine captain.
So it runs exactly the same as Chandler Fire or any other fire department. You're just considered a district and cover.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Within the automatic aid system, there's requirements that we all have to meet, and there's a standard in every department. Basically, we all do the exact same thing. It just says a different name on the back of the shirt. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And how did the social media thing come about?
Yeah. So, man, I've been doing it for a while. Back in 2011. My department would make, we do a banquet every year and it's like, it's where they, you know, they have awards and firefighter of the year and chief of the year and EMS provider and all these different things. And the nights, they're fun, but they can also get a little stale. And it also was serving as a charity fundraiser for our department's charities.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2011, we were looking for a way to kind of like mix up the night, maybe break up just one speaker after another kind of thing.
Sure.
And so I was like, well, I've always loved comedy and making people laugh, and I've loved music, and I was like, and making videos. And I was like, well, I could make a video. And so I decided, I was like, I'll make, it was, it, it, the idea happened on an ambulance. Me and my partner, we were coming back from a call. We were early in our careers.
This could go bad in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had, you know, there's the standard calls like that are, it's just monotonous sometimes where someone's got that knee pain and it's been bothering them for, you know, 3 months.
Right.
But at, you know, 2 a.m, nothing has changed. But at 2 a.m, it's like, you know, I'll call now.
Sure.
You know?
Speaking of that, I have this knee pain.
But so the song I Need You Now by Lady Antebellum came on the radio. And I was just sitting there and I was like singing because it was literally like 1:15 in the morning, and I'm like, it's a quarter after one, calling 911 because my knee hurts now. And my partner and I, we both started laughing, and I was like, that's it. I'm going to make a music video parody. And so I made that video. It's called My Knee Hurts Now. I made a whole song to it, filmed it, put it on YouTube. And I put it on YouTube for we showed it at the event, mm-hmm. and I put it on YouTube for the crews who couldn't come. And overnight, it blew up, like hit like a million views, like overnight. And I was like, "What just happened?" And it just and so basically, I just started creating content, and I wasn't as what's the word I'm looking for? I wasn't as consistent as I am now. Mm-hmm. I literally made like one video a year for like 7 years because I really didn't understand social media, but every year, the video would be successful, and then I would just go back into hiding for another year, then make another video, and then in like 2018 is when I decided, through the encouragement of some others, like maybe I should try and do this more consistent, and did it more consistent, and it's just kind of blown up since then. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with the mustache? Because for those of you out there listening, if you've seen his video, he walked in here without a mustache.
Yeah, he didn't
I wasn't
have
sure
that
we had the right
burly
person.
Mustache. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, obviously the stereotypes of firefighters, the big burly mustaches, things like that. Well, at the time when I made the video, my captain, he had a large mustache, and he's from New Jersey, and he had this accent. And his Jersey accent only comes out when he's mad.
Let's not be talking about accents in this room now. Come on now.
Y'all.
So we would always say, you know, oh, Dad's mad. Whenever Dad was mad, his accent would come out, you know. And so so I just was like, you know what? I'm going to do a little hat tip to Cap, and I'm going to put a big mustache on this character. And it has an accent that's, I say, it's kind of like Boston and Jersey mixed together or whatever. And
what does he say?
He just rolls his eyes. Oh, gosh. But yeah, no, I kind of developed the character of that like salty firefighter that's just mad at the world, and nobody does anything as good as he does.
Of course.
And, you know, everybody's a moron, and you know, the new guy, and so and I get like this like growls, I get mad, I'm like, are you kidding me, you moron, and everything, and just yelled. So it kind of developed, and people loved that character, and but it's kind of funny because I've never really come out and address the fact that it is a character. So people really think
right.
It's me.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah. And, like, and then it's hilarious because online I see people in the comment section arguing, like, no, that mustache is real. People are like, yeah, the mustache is real. He has a brother. I mean, it's wild the things that people come up with, and it's entertaining for me to
right.
watch. You know?
Well, we're here to break the story.
That's right.
He doesn't have a mustache.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it's funny. But then sometimes people will find out, like when I meet people in person, uh-huh. They're like, oh, my gosh, yeah, this whole time I thought the mustache was real. And I'm like, yeah, the mustache isn't real. The voice is also fake. I actually am a firefighter, but it's just a character, you know.
Well, I think you need a southern version too.
Yeah.
We can sell that one pretty well. I'll teach you.
There you go. Yeah.
Just make one syllable words, two or three syllable words. You got it covered.
Right. Yeah.
So now your counterpart from Fire Department Coffee, Jason, who makes all his chronicled. You know, his little videos.
And we had on here how long ago?
It's been several months ago now.
Yeah.
It was last year.
It was last year.
Yeah. A lot of his stuff comes from calls that he went on. Is that where you get a lot of your stuff?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people will ask, like, how do you come up with your content? And, like, I think him and I both agree that, like, it just happens around you, and you just kind of observe it, and we write it down. I've got notes upon notes on my phone of, like, I'll hear somebody, like, complaining about something, or I'll run on a call, and something will happen, and I hear somebody, like, gosh, every time. And it's like, whenever you hear that word every time, it's like, oop, there's something.
There's
you write it down, and you can recreate that, because you know if somebody's saying it, a lot of other people have had that same experience. And so, yeah, it just... Honestly, a lot of it writes itself.
So you were doing one a year. How many are you doing now?
Oh, now I post. Oh man, for a while there, geez, in 2018 and 2019, I was posting almost every day. But I kind of burnt the candle at both ends and kind of burnt myself out for a little bit there. So I had to kind of take a step back and kind of slow it down. So now I post probably once or twice a week, mm-hmm. and they're shorter form. The the things that really kind of kicked everything off was the music video parodies. But those, obviously, when I started, I was married. We had no kids. You know, now we've been married for almost 14 years, and we have four kids. And so the four kids, obviously, you know, they require attention and time, and I don't want to abandon them for the sake of making funny videos, you know. So, but yeah, so yeah, I've kind of slowed it down to about, you know, once or twice a week, and it's been, that's been a great mix and balance.
Are they ever part of the videos?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. My kids have not so much have they been. Well, so I've got a variety, like on my YouTube channel, where it's like my fire only content, but then I also have other stuff like pregnancy announcements when we were having kids and just different things. And if I'm ever being, like, if I'm here, not like filming somewhere else, if I'm ever here and I'm getting hit with something or sprayed with water or something, guaranteed there's a kid on the other side of that camera doing that, and they love to be a part of it, and they think it's a blast. So
they don't sing with you ever though, huh?
No, my wife does. That's actually how we met, was doing music. My wife and I doing music. So we were active in our church and leading worship and stuff. So that's how we met. So,
well, I like your PSA announcement, the one that's, these are not reasons for 911.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty
that was
hilarious.
Good. Yes. Yeah. So tell me how that must have been a moment of frustration.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just, like I said, you just hear, you run those same calls where you're like, it comes out as, you know, there's fire alarm going off, and you get there, and it's just a chirp, and it's sometimes you question.
Replace
like,
that battery, right?
Yeah, you need to replace the battery.
Sometimes you question. I mean, like I always tell people, the majority of what we do is as firefighters, paramedics, even law enforcement stuff, is just educate people.
Yes,
we educate them on, you know, why them calling 911 was the right choice, or like maybe hold off, or maybe this isn't an emergency,
right.
You know, and so it's the same thing. You know, when we have the fire alarms go off, just educating like, look. That chirp is just a low battery. Don't panic. Don't be scared. You know.
My sister called me over to her house just last week to change all the batteries in hers.
Right.
Fire alarms, because they started chirping. But she said if you do it wrong, hers start saying, screaming, fire, fire, fire.
Yeah.
She's like, and I have a panic attack.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, I'll come take care of it for you.
See, I just disconnect mine.
yeah.
My nephew has Google ones. He can just turn it off.
That's what I need, because this house I just moved into, the smoke detector's right outside the kitchen. Mm-hmm. That literally, if something just spills into the bottom of the oven a little bit, it sets off
real
all
touchy.
Of them in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And it
oh,
is the loudest screech. And I went the other day, took a ladder, pulled it down, pulled the battery out. It started chirping. I disconnected it from the wiring, put it back up. Looks good. But ain't nothing functioning there. Now, the one in my bedroom still works. If it gets to the bedroom, I'm good. I can go out the other door. But nope, I'm done with fire smoke detectors.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised. Like I said, we get those fire alarm indication calls, and we just had one a couple shifts ago. It was, of course, it was 3 a.m. Like, the smoke detectors never start chirping at 3 in the afternoon. It's always 3
right.
in the morning. It's like
mm-hmm.
they're programmed to do that. But we got dispatched that, and it was a caller, and they said that it was a neighbor's. This was funny. This was a law enforcement officer who had just come home from his late shift.
We need his name.
Yeah. It was, don't worry. We gave him. It was hilarious. And he was,
please tell us
so
what agency.
Sorry.
Come on. Tell us what department. You got to at least tell department.
Yeah.
Come on.
But he said, so he's like, yeah, I just got out. I have my patrol car. And I'm hearing this alarm going off. He's like, and I see cars in the driveway, and I'm just concerned that maybe it's a CO alarm and they're not waking up. He's like, because I don't see any sign of smoke or fire. I'm like, all right. So we get there, we get out, we walk around, we're looking, we're like, yeah, it sounds like it's this house. And but we're kind of doing our due diligence before we like ring the doorbell and
wake them up.
And we come around to the side of the gate, and I'm like, I open the gate, reach over, open the gate, open their trash can. There's smoke detectors going off in the trash. Recently replaced their smoke detectors, and we pulled it out, pulled the batteries out, reset them, the whole thing, and then threw them back in the dumpster and went out and said, yeah, it was smoke detectors in the trash can. He was like, I'm so sorry. He was like, what station are you at? We're like, oh, the one right there, right down the road. He's like, I'm bringing you donuts in the morning.
Well, at least he went out there with a hose. Oh, no.
It's funny. But it's funny because that's not the first time that we've had this exact same. We've had that same call.
So. Really?
Oh, yeah. It happened multiple times. People replace their smoke detectors. They don't take the batteries out, and they go off. In the trash can.
No, I just put mine back up. Just pull everything out, stick it back up. Looks good.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So how did you and Jason meet?
So like I said, when I started making videos back in 2011, nobody was really doing anything. And Jason saw that video. Jason started making his own content. Him and I kind of connected back in like 2014, and was like, hey, we should collaborate, and talked back and forth a bit. And then it wasn't until 2019 when, so Jason had already teamed up with Luke from Fire Department Coffee. Mm-hmm. And Jason was like, man, we would love to have you come on board with us at Fire Department Coffee and be. So him and I initially crossed paths early on, like 2014, 2015. Yeah. And then just kept talking. Mm-hmm. And then, and at the end of 2019, and we talked through 2020, obviously COVID hit 2020, so that kind of paused everything. But right at the end of 2020 is when I came on board with Fire Department Coffee, and then went out to Illinois. Mm-hmm. We made some videos, and I came back. And when I got back, I was getting a phone call from Jason and Luke. Luke's the founder of Fire Department Coffee, and Jason's the vice president. And they're like, hey, man. That was kind of our first date this trip, and we loved you. We would love to bring you on. You're one of us, mm-hmm. And so it's been great. You know, we get along fantastic. We're able to creatively bounce ideas off of each other. We work very well together. Write content together.
That's good.
Make content together, and it's been awesome.
And I really like their coffee. We Tracy and I get Fire Department Coffee
awesome.
Quite a bit.
Well,
and
thank
it's
you.
It's good coffee.
Yeah.
So tell us about the background to that and when Fire Department Coffee even started.
Yeah, so Fire Department Coffee started back in 2016 when Luke and his wife Kate, so Kate loves coffee, and Luke definitely is a food and beverage, like he's got that entrepreneurial side, and his passion is food and beverage. And they were roasting their own blend of coffee in, mm-hmm. in their kitchen, and then and it was called a different kind. It was Pie Roasters, I think, if I'm saying that correctly. Pie Roasters at the time, and they had a Fire Department blend that they were just doing whatever. And Luke would bring some in for the guys at work, and the guys were like, "Man, this is really, really good." So they brought he started bringing it in more and more, and the guys started asking for it. And so then in like 2017, Luke decided to rebrand, mm-hmm. rebranded into Fire Department Coffee, and now we'll have the various roasts. And so like the medium roast, that was that roast that he was doing then, and that's kind of the one that built the company was built off of, was the medium roast. And then it's just expanded from there. You know, we have all of our different roasts, the espressos, and then we also have like the spirit infused line and all things. And that one thing that I think that we've been able to do, I think, very well is build some really good brand recognition and mm-hmm. kind of build a culture around the brand. There's people that don't even drink coffee that love Fire Department Coffee because they love our content and they love our shirts and the stickers. And so that's one thing that kind of has blown me away is like, wow, you don't even like coffee? You love Fire Department Coffee? Like, oh, yeah, I love your videos. I love your shirts. I love your stickers, all that kind of stuff. And so, but yeah, Luke's passion and like I said, his entrepreneurial mindset, they were able, he surrounded himself with good people, made very wise business decisions, and it's just taken off.
So do they have one called Five Alarm or something like that?
No, we have like different things like skull crushing espresso and we have but Luke also, we have our shellback espresso, so Luke is also a Navy veteran, he's shellback, so so that's a hat tip to the Navy, to the servicemen and women. So yeah, it's veteran owned and operated, it's also firefighter owned and operated, so yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So are you partnering with nonprofits? Have they been profit? Is that something they have been
doing
to get the word out?
Yeah. So we have 10% of all of our profits go back to sick and injured firefighters and first responders through the Fire Department Coffee Foundation.
Good.
Yeah. So, and then now we have, we started this new thing called the, it's like the Coffee of the Month Club, but it's through the foundation. And what we do is we partner with, different nonprofits, charities, and we'll create a blend for them, mm-hmm. which is cool because it's not just like the same blend packaged with something different. It's their own blend with
nice.
Different notes of different things, beans from different regions, and they have a logo. And typically, we will incorporate so one time they did my department, and so our department's charities. We on the front of the shirt had our charity's logo, but then on the back, the new blend that they made was snake bite because it's, you know, Arizona, there's rattlesnakes, and they made a really cool...
Should have been scorpions.
Yeah.
Everybody got snakes, people. Not everybody got scorpions, but...
Yeah, and it was cool. Like, the logo, it incorporated the firefighter Maltese cross, but it also kind of had the Arizona flag, and
nice.
It had a snake that was wrapping around like an axe and a halogen, and so there was some lightning in there for kind of the monsoons, and you see the cactus and all the different things, and it was just a really cool logo. And so we made shirts and the coffee, and a portion of the shirts and coffee go directly to that charity, and then
nice.
And then the Fire Department Coffee Foundation writes a check to those charities, those organizations, and it's been really successful. We recently just did Maui for you know, the departments of Maui with
right.
the fires, and
yes.
we were able to write them a check. I believe it was like $14,000. So that was a big deal. And that
nice.
And that, it we do it every month. And so like this month right now, we're also doing Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a design right now that has a Yeti, and he's on what looks like a snowboard, but I believe it's like water coming from a hose, and it's a cool logo. So yeah, it's just been cool, and so. It really gets the support of the departments. They have buy-in. Their members are buying the shirts.
Sure.
Sure.
People are like, oh, where do I get that?
And yes.
So it's been really, really cool. We've been able to make a really good impact and really give back to, you know, the charitable organizations.
And do you ever keep that blend still available? What if it's a huge success and people want it again after a month?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I can't answer that appropriately. I don't know. I couldn't answer that. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we have Jake. He's our chief of coffee. He's kind of our coffee scientist.
Chief of coffee.
That's what I would be. I would be chief of staff. I would be chief of coffee.
Yeah,
chief of margaritas or something.
Yeah, but he is our coffee scientist. The guy's a genius, and he is able to create these blends that are awesome. So yeah.
And so really you have cool. subscriptions and subscribers from all over the country, the world.
Yeah. What? Yeah, it's been through social media and everything like that. It's across the platforms. It is literally millions of subscribers across, you know, my platform, Fire Department Coffee, Jason with Fire Department Chronicles. We've been able to have the brand has a huge reach.
Sure.
We all have a huge reach, and you know, our mission is to make people laugh and give good coffee and give back along the way. So.
And you can buy Fire Department Coffee locally too, the
right.
basic brands,
right?
Right.
Yep. We are in some retail stores. We're in Albertson, Safeway,
right.
Back
oh.
East. We're in like Meijer's
yeah.
locations, things like that. So
okay.
and we're expanding in retail more and more. So it's been pretty cool. And coming up here soon, we're going to be in Walmart as well. So,
nice.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Yeah, that's
there. So
that's
it's a
good.
Big deal. Yeah.
And that's going to be nationwide, or is it going to be a trial here in Arizona, or what's the deal?
So we're going to start out. I don't know how much I can speak on it, but I know we're going to start out on a number of stores. It's a pretty large number of stores, and
mm-hmm.
then after I believe the first couple years, it'll expand to more stores and things like that. So,
but it is here in Arizona in Albertsons
right.
and Safeway.
It's in Albertsons and Safeways
okay.
here in Arizona.
Cool.
And then it's in some Kroger stores, not nationwide, but in some stores. Yeah. So,
okay.
So,
good.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure we have those. But they can also order online and do
yep.
the subscription.
Yep. They can order online. Yeah. You can buy just a one-off bag. You can do a subscription, and we've got multiple different subscriptions. Like I said, we have spirit infused where it's coffee that's infused with
yeah.
you know different rums or whiskeys
yeah.
or all different lines.
I've had those.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had those.
So.
Joel just woke up. he heard something.
Rum.
That,
yeah. yeah. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, we have like Irish whiskey and all these
yeah.
different ones, and it's cool that we and vanilla bean bourbons and it's cool because it's safe to drink at work because you know we
you hear that, Susan? Can you say it one more time?
It's safe to drink
First
at
of all,
work.
You're not old. enough to drink. It'll stunt your growth or something. I don't know, but safe to drink at work.
Yeah. So we when
just what I want. A firefighter coming to my house has been drinking rum.
No, it's coffee. It's coffee.
Yeah. In the roasting process, it burns off all the alcohol but keeps all the flavors.
That's what they say. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good line. That seems good.
Yeah.
Interesting. So if you really want the real stuff, you got to add your own to it.
Yeah, what you do in your own kitchen, that's you.
Yeah, Joelle, sorry. Yeah, did that change it for you, buddy?
No, we can make it work.
Something tells me you probably can.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to ask, is the humor part and the videos and things you were doing, did you really begin to realize how much that was helping you deal with things that were on the job that were difficult to deal with?
You know, honestly, for me, like I said, humor's always been a big part of my life. I always say, like, my dad, he's like the OG Fenton. Mm-hmm. He was the funniest. He still is the funniest person I know. But I didn't really realize how powerful of a tool like humor was until I started making these videos. I didn't think that I was necessarily doing it so much for me, but I do notice that if I'm not, like, I feel like I was created to create, you know? And if I'm not creating, I definitely feel it. I feel that I'm a creative person and this is my art form. And so it's like, when I'm not doing that, I feel like I'm not doing what I was called to do.
Uh-huh.
But you know, for me with dealing with stuff like on the job, for me, my faith plays a big role.
Yes.
It's a big part for me. You know, I'm a Christian and my faith in Jesus is that's my rock. That's what I lean into and I press into.
100%.
You know, knowing that we live in a broken world.
Yes.
With broken people.
Getting more broken by the day, apparently.
Broken systems that break people, all that stuff. You know, it's that for me is what I cling to.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I process and deal with the things that we go through. But I also know that, like I said, humor plays such a large role in that because it really does. It creates vulnerability.
Yes.
For me, well, I notice for me as the person that's creating it, it's very vulnerable to put it out there because I'm kind of like. Like, I think they're all funny, everything that I put out. I think they're all funny, and I think that's what keeps me true to myself.
Yes.
But, you know, when you put it out there, you're just like, oh, I hope people think it's funny, too. I hope it's received well, you know? I think for me the greatest thing about creating the content is I love to be able to create moments that create other moments. So, like, people watch one of the videos and it's a crew sitting around a table or in the engine and they're laughing and they're cutting it up after a really bad call.
Right.
Yes.
Or when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's just that monotony. And I always tell this story. A few years ago, a woman from the Chicago area, her husband was a Chicago firefighter and he died of cancer. She reached out to me and said, you know, I just wanted to thank you for the content that you made. Because when my husband was battling cancer and in his bed and he was sick and he was dying, me and my daughters would sit in his bed with him and we'd watch your videos and we would just laugh. And she said that was some of her favorite memories was to be able to sit there. And she said, and what was so cool was some of the comedy they didn't understand because, you know, they're not part of the field. And he was able to explain to them, this is why this is funny. And it just, she said that was some of her greatest memories. And I told my wife, I was like, if nothing ever came out of any of this.
Yep.
If that was my only follower and that it was all worth it. And
yep.
Because that to me that was just such an amazing thing. And then just through the years of doing it and meeting people at different trade shows or just out and about in public, they've expressed to me like, thank you so much. That really helped me and you don't realize the power that laughter has, and you know, when someone is really in the dumps, like there was
100%.
I met a guy who was a 9/11 survivor, and he said, "Watching your videos reminds me that there's good days after the bad days."
Yes,
and I'm just like, I was like, getting teared up, I'm like, my goodness, and I'm thankful that God has given me this platform, and I'm able to use it for that.
Yes, he definitely has a sense of humor.
Yeah, oh yeah, for
he
sure.
uses it on me quite often. I assure you.
That's what I say. I'm like, you know, we're created in God's image, and the sense of humor is no different. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you do stand up?
I don't. I would love to. That's a different beast. I would love to. That's kind of a bucket list item for me. Is I have some like notes on my phone. If I ever did stand up, I'm going to talk about this and this. But I would love to.
I'd like to do the fundraiser again, like we did in Chandler. Mm-hmm. Right. What was it called? What's the one in Chandler called? It's not Drop the Mic, is it? Anyway, we had a police officer.
Right.
That does stand-up comedy, but to have the two of them up there together,
yeah, that would be funny.
I think we could sell out.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. Yeah, that's it. I was close.
Yeah.
You know, chemo's getting out of the system.
Was it Don Steinmetz?
It was. Yeah.
He's a good friend of my dad. My parents, they used to live next door to each other. They both had cabins up in Happy Jack, and they were next door neighbors. And
he's awesome.
Yep.
Yes, and bless his heart, because he thought there were two other comedians, and it turned out he had to do the whole thing, and he didn't find out until he literally walked in the building.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So
the joke's on him.
Absolutely.
I need to be his protege. He needs to take me under his wing and show me how to go from writing scripted content to, you know.
But I can just see the publicity on that. That's something we'll work on. We actually have a meeting today. We will talk about that today because I think that could be a big seller right there.
I get that question a lot. A lot of people say, do you do shows? And I'm like, I don't. I would love to.
Well, you'd have to bring the mustache.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd have to be in character. Yeah.
Yes. So. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'd like for ours to be the first.
There you go.
We'll be your opening act.
There you go. So if I'm going to crash and burn, I'll do it. No, I'm just kidding.
In front of a bunch of cops and firefighters.
That's right.
What better audience? Yeah,
right?
No question. Yeah. Well, what message would you have out there really for firefighters, especially in families that are listening? Because apparently you have been a kid of a first responder. Your dad in Phoenix has never been a really easy place to police at any point in history.
Right.
What would your advice be out there to families that are just getting into this? Because fire, it has always been, like your dad said, go to the population where people wave at you with all the fingers. But even that is changing some because we've had drive-bys, I know, at Phoenix firehouses and stuff.
You're right. The climate is changing. I mean, anybody that wears a uniform, you know, they're kind of viewed in a negative light as like, you know, the bad guy, the government, however you want to put it. I would say for family members that are in it or just getting into it, it is an amazing job. Mm-hmm. I think with law enforcement, it can feel thankless.
Uh-huh.
And that's unfortunate because it seems like that has gotten more prevalent. Because I remember, you know, growing up and my dad being a police officer, and people were like, Your dad's a cop? And I'm like, yeah. Like, oh, that's awesome. I don't know that happens so much anymore. People are like, your dad's a cop? You know?
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
And then firefighters, like for us, you know, we have people coming up to us all the time thanking us for our service, and we always appreciate that. And for me, like, I appreciate it. It's kind of weird to be in that position. I think all first responders feel that way where it's like, it's our job, you know?
Sure.
We get paid to do that.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
We get paid to serve. And it's not to say that we don't enjoy it, but we love it. It is an amazing job. It will provide amazing things for you and your family, but it also has a downside to it. There's also some very dark things that come with the job. We get to see the not so great sides of society that a lot of people don't necessarily realize that happens. People see kind of the, you know, you see that person walking down the street that you kind of pull your kids away from, you're afraid of, and we get called to go to their house or their wherever they call their dwelling, and when they're having issues or whatever, and so it's not always fun, it's not always glamorous, but for me, one thing that I always tell new people, and we talked about this a little bit earlier off the podcast, was sometimes people have the job becomes their identity, and so a big thing for me that I always like to remind new people, and just anybody who family members, things like that, is don't forget who you are before you came in this job. Don't let that job define you, because we're all just a moment away from a career-ending injury or anything like that. And when that's removed, you're left with who you are, and you got to have that foundation. Like I said, for me, my foundation is in Christ. That's my coping. That's how I cope. But I also know that I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend. I'm all these things, And I'm also a firefighter.
Sure.
And I always like to remind people that you're those things first. Don't be like, you know, I'm a firefighter and, oh yeah, I'm also a husband and I'm also a dad, but I'm a firefighter. Because when you make it your identity, that's how your priorities get flipped. And that's where you know, we all have seen that increase in substance abuse and divorce trauma. And trauma and alcoholism and suicides and all that stuff, because we have forgotten who we are. The job has kind of taken over us, and we don't know how to unplug and have anything outside of that. And so for me, like I said, when going back to your question about how the comedy has done it, that's really what it has done for me, is that it's a way for me, even though it's kind of a niche comedy where I'm making funny stuff about fire department and that's what I do, but it is a way for me to unplug, decompress.
Right.
But I also, and then when I'm done, I put my phone away, I put my stuff away, and I go play baseball with my boys. You know, I go hang out with my daughters and my wife, and we go on family bike rides and do all kinds of things because I'm dad, I'm husband, I'm all these things, you know.
Yeah, I said if society would even get back to that, I said, you know, we need to identify, especially Christians, the first thing, if somebody asks me who I am, that should be my first thing.
Right.
Not
right.
White, black, Hispanic, brown, whatever, Christian, let's start there.
Yeah.
And then let everything else fall into place. And, you know, the other thing we have such issues with, especially in law enforcement, but I'm finding it now as we deal more and more with fire, is the admirable concept in training of keep personal and professional separate. You just can't do it.
Right.
In
it's a very unique career field that. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, because families are impacted by, I don't know what your shifts are, but like at Chandler, they're on 48 and off like 350 days or something. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah, 351.
That's 48 hours are hard.
Yeah.
So what are the shifts? What do y'all run?
Same thing. We do 48 hours on, 96 hours off. And the 48s, like you said, they can get long. They can be difficult. My wife is a saint. I don't know how she takes care. Homeschools four kids by herself for 48 hours. Because then I come home, and then I'm like, all right, tag, I'm in. She goes and does whatever she needs to do to kind of go have adult time or a conversation with someone that's not asking her for something that needs something, you know. And she'll go, you know, have fun with her friends or just whatever, read a book, anything like that. And I'm like, how long are you going to be gone? You
know? Yeah.
Isn't good it time for you to be back
here? And good for you, because I did deal with a couple recently and fired. That was her complaint, was that, you know, he comes home and he's like, oh, I've been at work, so this is my off time now. And she's like, who you think's been running this show for 48 hours?
Yeah.
And when do I get 48 hours?
Yeah, right.
And there has to be a good balance there. And that comes through communication, not teaching this concept of keeping it separate.
Yeah.
Because they are impacted.
For sure.
And that's something, you know, that we would love to see change in these academies. And it's going to take people like yourself to actually make those changes. It's admirable on its face.
Right.
But the reality is it's not realistic.
Yeah.
And families are impacted and make huge sacrifices.
Yeah, because it's remembering. Yeah, it's just remembering that you are a team. And you know, there's clips that float around the internet. I'm sure we've all seen it, where it's one of the leading marriage gurus, whatever. And she said, you know, I just come home and I tell, you know, my spouse, you know, I'm at like 80%, so I need you to pick up. Or I'm at, you know, I'm at 20%, I need you to pick up the 80% kind of thing. You know, marriage is, it's 50-50, and I'm just like, no, it's 100-100. You can have bad days, but it's just like you said, you got to communicate. And like my wife, her first, you know, we see each other, and I say hi, and give her a kiss all the kids, and the first thing she asks is like, how was your night?
Yes.
How are you? And I'll say like, oh, it was fine, or it was terrible, didn't get much sleep or whatever. And she'll ask like, are you good? Do you feel like you want to just like take 30 minutes, an hour, take a nap, rest or whatever, and I'm good. Sometimes I should and I don't, you know. It's like we think we grow out of that needing a snack and a nap, but we really don't. You know, it's a good reset for us. And
you know, I could really say something right now. You're really opening the door on fire here. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut and stop.
A nap.
Yeah. Okay. Is that what you've done for 48 hours, dear? Snacking and napping.
We eat till we're tired and sleep till we're hungry.
That's it. At least that's what Dave Grossman says y'all do, so no question about it.
Yeah.
But, and she probably can tell by the way you walk in.
Oh,
if that's a real important question to ask in front of kids or not in front of kids, too. Yeah. And that's our whole thing. You may not bring the words home, but you sure bring the mood home.
Oh, yeah. And if there's one thing that I've learned is I don't hide how I'm actually doing well. My wife's like, it's written all over your
face. Yeah, no man does. No man does. What you talking about? Y'all can close the back door and we know what. Uh-oh, here it comes. Uh-huh. Yeah, y'all are funny to think you can. yeah, nice try. So,
yeah, but no, it's been, we have a very good, we have a great marriage and we have a good, I don't want to say partnership, but like, we understand each other and I understand that when I come home, it's not like, all right, now I get to rest. It's like, I have to come home and be dad. Like, I have to.
That's another job.
That's my job. Yeah. For me, I would say that is my job and I do all these other things, but my job is to be a husband and a father. Yes. That is my job. You know?
Yeah. Cause you couldn't do your job without her.
Right. Yep.
Because you'd have to be shuffling kids off someplace, and that just makes things even more complicated and hard on the family. And she's there picking up the load, and I think that's forgotten. I think men especially, think it's easy for women to be at home.
Right.
Hardest job in the world.
Yeah, I experienced it. So my wife, she used to work full-time in the nurse. She's a nurse still, but she used to work full-time in the ER, and when she would go, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How do you do this for 48 hours? Yeah. 12 hours is killing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here I thought she was lying on the couch eating bonbons watching soap operas all this time. Yeah, that's it. Absolutely.
Right.
That just stuff miraculously happens.
Right.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't cut out to do that. My children's lives were in danger if I was a stay-at-home mom. It wasn't safe. And they'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Probably why one of them's a Marine. It's called self-defense. We're excited to have you here and get the word out about your comedy hours and videos. And again, we're going to help you break through in a whole new thing, and that's going to be stand-up comedy.
Hey, I would love that.
Crash and burn or excel at it. This will be fun to watch.
Right.
But, we'd love to have Luke on sometimes, too, because you said he's kind of the founder.
Yeah, Luke's the one that – Luke is the – he's the – the genius behind all this that kind of started it all. And
is he still working in fire?
No, so he's since retired now, but he's full-time doing coffee. And Luke definitely, I mean, he's a busy guy, but I can definitely get you in touch and figure out a way that you guys can cross paths. And
that'd be awesome.
He could tell his side of the story. He's got so much more. Obviously he knows all the stuff, what it was like at home and dealing with all these things and building what has come to what it is.
Absolutely.
It's really cool. So,
yeah. Okay.
It's
great.
A cool story.
Well, thanks again for coming in, and we're going to let's keep in touch. And
absolutely.
We will certainly, I got all kind of wheels turning in my head on this stand up comedy thing.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, you can expect a phone call.
Yeah, you got to start writing content.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get you. But you said you and Don are friends. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and my dad, they came on together and worked years together. And they were neighbors up until recently. So.
We've had him on the podcast too. So you might want to reach out and go, Susan's wheels are turning about getting us on a stage together.
Oh, yeah.
And so y'all can start working on your content together. But we just want to thank everybody out there who's listening for continuing to be loyal here to us at Under the Shield and Fight in Progress. And if you've got anything going on, it doesn't matter. There's nothing we don't deal with. We are available to you 24/7. That includes families. It doesn't even have to be about your loved one. It can be about the struggles that you're having, because I certainly understand those things, 20 years married to law enforcement. But reach out to us on our toll-free. See, there you go. The chemo brain is still affecting my toll-free like anything's cost anymore. On our 24-hour number, 855-889-2348. But at least I remember the number,
right.
And I don't need a teleprompter or a dry erase board down there, Tom, like you had to have. If you hit extension 1, you will get a stress coach. Let it ring. It's rolling to the first available, and we do not have your phone number. When we talk about our stress coaching here at Under the Shield being anonymous, it is 100% anonymous. We won't have your number. If you get disconnected from us, you got to call us back. If you hit extension 2, you'll get my voicemail, and that message could sit there probably for the next 5 years. So my recommendation to you is that if the sun is up in Arizona, you text me. If the sun's down, you call me at 334-324-3570. That's my cell number. I promise you I will answer in the middle of the night. Do not call to see if I will answer in the middle of the night. Because if this is just for fun, you're in a bar like some people out here have done, it ain't going to play too well for you. Hit extension 3, you will get our stress coach, David Cohen, in Alabama. And extension 4 is you, Tom.
That's right. Or you can call me on my cell phone at 480-861-6574.
And if you have something going on with teenagers, Joelle is our expert there. He looks like he's a teenager, but anyway, but he's our stress coach that really is handling the first responder teenagers, because it's a tough lifestyle for kids, having parents gone and all kind of things that go on. And so how do they reach you, Joelle?
Well, not through Facebook. We have had that a few times.
We have. That's not a good plan.
Yeah, look, you can call me at 480-316-7648.
And you'll have your email also listed now in the little description.
Yeah, I can add it.
Yeah, let's add your email too. And so, again, you don't ever have to worry about anybody knowing that you've reached out to us. We're not a referral source. We handle the situations. 32 years of experience. If I don't have the answers, I'll make them up. No, I'm just kidding. I'll find somebody who has the answers for you. So this isn't about telling you 12 different numbers you need to call, but please reach out to us. This is for all first responders, military, and families. And we just appreciate you, all the sacrifices that are made, especially the families. And want you to know we're here for you 24/7. Please reach out. And come back and see us next week. God bless you. God bless your families and this great nation that we live in. Thanks again, Brent, for coming in and being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet.